to the building around 7 this morning, and I was thinking about the finance members leaving the building around 7. I know some of the staff behind us here have been up all night doing dual purposes between the Joint Finance Committee and the Audit Committee here this morning. Just want to remind everybody that we are live today on Wisconsin Eye, and please be diligent in the use of the microphones. There will be a members. I know that Senator Lozick is on her way up, and we might have Senator Darling be able to call in if she gets a moment this morning. So again, we're very fluid today on members coming and going. I know I do have another committee meeting too that I need to be at to go vote. So just wanted to touch base on those items. The first item on the agenda, I'm going to have the clerk call the roll.
Representative Kirkman.
Here.
Senator Coles.
Here.
Senator Darling. Senator Lozick. Senator Vinehout.
Here.
Senator Lane.
Here.
Representative Markline.
Here.
Representative Nygren. Representative Richards. Representative Sargent.
Here.
All right. Thank you so much, members. I also wanted to remind people, because this is a public hearing, that if you are wanting to testify today, please fill out the slips. I do know that I believe Wiedek is going to be testifying as well, and I think some of the senators and will also want to testify on the proposed bill draft. And at this time, I will turn it over to my co-chair to begin testimony on Senate Bill 205.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank the audit for all their work on on this bill. Where's Joe and his team? They're back there somewhere. And I want to thank Jason and my staff and Allison and Sam's staff for all their effort in putting together this effort. As you know, the LAB found a number of concerns regarding the accountability and certain limitations at WEDC. The audit identified there is a, what I would call a disconnection between our expectations as a legislature and the reality of the Economic Development Corporation. However, Wisconsin, in my opinion, needs to stay committed to economic development, give the corporation a second chance, and make sure that these issues are fixed moving forward. This starts, I believe, by creating a strong board at WEDC with the right internal controls that maintain an accountability Wisconsinites deserve. Representative Kirkman and I have taken a number of recommendations and suggestions from both the audit findings and testimony from the audit hearing on May 9th and incorporated it in the only WEDC reform package, I believe, that has bipartisan support. And I want to thank my various co-sponsors for their input and support for the bill. Wisconsin's economic incentives need to be measurable and accountable to ensure the effectiveness of our efforts and make sure our money is spent wisely. So each year on October 1, WEDC will report to the legislature on the progress of its economic development programs during the past fiscal year. This bill would require the report to contain additional information than what is currently required. The bill also increases the frequency of required LAB financial audits to an annual audit until 2019. Furthermore, in the event that WEDC desires to create a nonprofit organization, it would be required to submit a plan to JFC, Joint Finance Committee, for passive review. This bill requires WEDC to adopt procurement processes and bidding procedures also. In the bill, we create a new position on the board called lead director. This change is modeled after many private sector boards, and this member of the board will give the WEDC board the focus it needs, we believe. The lead director would lead the board meetings in the chair's absence, chair a governance committee, serve as a liaison between the chair and other board members, and carry out other duties. These recommendations came from Senator Cullen, who has extensive experience in this area. In addition, the bill will create the Governance Committee, which must also include two of the board's public members. The Governance Committee will develop principles for the board's oversight of the corporation, recommend membership for committees the board establishes, assist in finding candidates to fill vacancies, and facilitates communication between the board and CEO of WEDC. The bill also sets a fixed 6-year staggered term for WEDC board members. We believe we need to ensure that the proper oversight is in place internally for WEDC and that we continue to stay committed to economic activities within the corporation with proper measurements and accountability. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Senator, for your testimony on the basics of the bill. I, too, want to thank the state auditor and his team. When we had our hearing on this particular audit, now again, over the years we've had a number of audits come out, and I have cited them in the past, and now the May 2013 audit, we've acted very, very quickly on the concerns. I know there are a number of bills floating around, and the Joint Finance Committee has also acted. Even as of last night, in the omnibus motion 999, they did make some modifications to their previous modifications of WEDC. It's page 10, item 22, for those who might not have seen the big motion that passed around 6 or so this morning. So, but with regards to my testimony today, I really wanted to highlight and compliment Senator Cole's testimony and talk about the amendment, because as we were drafting the bill working with Ledge Council, we felt that there was even greater aspects that needed more transparency, more reporting requirements, and some changes to the board members on their terms. So again, I have my written testimony as well that I wanted to read. Most notably, the largest change that we make to the bill is an amendment that was put in finance last night that instead of subjecting WEDC to the state procurement laws, it modifies this requirement to allow WEDC to maintain its ability to act swiftly to respond to the market. This amendment requires WEDC board to adopt procurement policies and procedures that specify when WEDC must publicly solicit proposals from multiple vendors, how WEDC will evaluate those proposals, how WEDC will identify conflicts of interest in the vendors. This is a solution that will ensure that WEDC remains accountable while providing the flexibility that they need. Additionally, this amendment clarifies the bill's provisions establishing the 6-year staggered terms for the WEDC board members. The amendment specifies that the terms of the legislative members end after either 6 years or when the legislator's term of office ends. The amendment also slightly modifies the section of the bill which the government's committee is created, specifying that the committee will recommend qualified candidates for the board in general rather than specifically to the chair of the board. In regards to the bill's provisions that require JFC approval for new nonprofit organizations by WEDC, the amendment specifies that the approval of this required for creation of any entity the corporation desires to create. The WEDC board, rather than the WEDC CDO, would submit the plan to create the entity to JFC. Again, creating greater transparency. The bill requires that WEDC verify accuracy of the information submitted by the recipients of tax credits in addition to the current such requirements of recipients of the grant and loans. The amendment applies this change to 7 other agencies that administer economic development programs. This came out in the previous audits. There were 9 different state agencies that had several years ago administered 150 plus programs throughout the state of Wisconsin. So this just clarifies that those other state agencies, including WEDC, have to report the same requirements. Lastly, the bill adds reporting requirements to WEDC that the other agencies must submit to their annual report to the legislature about their economic development activities. So again, it's clarifying, adding additional transparency. Again, these items are, some of them are more technical in nature, some of them are a little bit more policy in nature, and I know we will have a good discussion on the bill that's proposed before us today. At this time, I would open it up to members to ask questions. I don't know if...
Excuse me, Representative Kirkman.
Oh, hi, Senator.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Can I just call in and be counted as present?
We have you down. Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. So, again, very fluid this morning on our members being here or not being here. Again, Senator Lozick, thank you so much for you being able to hopefully got about an hour's worth of sleep in the office.
That's exactly what it was.
Great. So, okay, at this time I will start a list and have be available for questions. Okay. First up, Representative Sargent.
I forget about that here. On the county board, it turns on by itself, so I've been spoiled by that. I would like to thank the chairs and all the folks that have worked on creating these bills for us. I think that it really moves us in a good direction. But one of the things that I'm concerned about, and I appreciate that Senator Coles mentioned in his testimony, is the fact that a strong board has internal controls, and that the strong board is actually given some teeth that they can move forward with. And I'm concerned that we might not have enough of that here. I'm wondering why we're going in the direction of creating a lead director rather than actually appointing a chairman of the board that has that position. I'm just worried that right now we're very top down, and I would like to have some discussion on how we can go forward with that.
Well, after extensive discussions with Senator Cullen, who has experience on various boards, public and private, that's the way we decided to do it.
All right. I've served on a number of boards, and I'm sure many of the people that are here in this room have, too. It's been, you know, one of the ways that we have gotten to where we are. And I'm concerned that right now the board of directors is really a... isn't able to take the action that they need to in the current configuration. And I would feel a lot better, because we have had real concern about those internal controls, that the board itself isn't able to correct those in the configuration that it is. So I would just like to go on the record with concern on that at this point.
Sure. And I'll just add to Senator Cole's discussion on this. Again, when we were discussing the bill, we really wanted to set up... because, again, under the Department of Commerce, there was no board. And so, again, this is making a significant, you know, when WEDIC changed, it made a significant change by adding a board to allow more public input with regards to the operation of WEDIC. And I think at this point, now stepping up and creating roles for members of the board, I think, was just critical. I looked at other boards, but including the Board of Regents. And in the Board of Regents, they actually have the power to fire people, but even haven't taken that opportunity to do so, which some cases as a legislator really frustrates me with some of the challenges they have faced recently. And again, trying to create those roles in which if somebody can't be there, that, again, there are assigned duties to it. And we did have extensive conversations with Ledge Council and the State Auditor with regards to this proposal, just trying to find roles and giving people duties for serving on the board. So again, it's just not a place filler, that you actually have a role with regards to the board. So, and we will take that your comments under again advisement, and if there's some kind of language that you really feel particular, I'd entertain additional language. Senator Vinehout.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I'd like to echo a few of the comments that Representative Sargent made and add a bit to what she outlined. I support this bill. The bill is comes out of language that was recommended by the Audit Bureau at the end of the last audit in terms of detailing more of the deliverables, you might say, that WEDIC has to meet when they report to the legislature. That's a very positive step forward. I agree with Senator Cullen that the idea of a lead director will help in strengthening the board. I agree that we need staggered terms, and I think that this puts in place a bipartisan effort to get us there. But I would like to go on record as saying that this is a first step and the problem isn't completely solved. And the kinds of things that I would look for as we're moving forward are some of the ideas that Representative Sargent mentioned, that the chair of the board be elected by the board. Some of the things that Representative Kirkman mentioned, that the board had the ability to hire and fire all top WEDIC positions, the CEO, the CFO, and the COO, and require that all of the policies must be approved by the board. And I think this is very important because we have a board that was not aware that there were policies that were not in place. And we have an administration that really was not competent. And it was in their incompetence and in the board's lack of oversight that many of the findings of the audit came to pass. I believe that we need to focus on and strengthening the finance committee and strengthening the audit committee. And when we looked at the audit and found the details related to the finances of WEDIC were absolutely in a mess. They still have not come forward with a budget, even though the fiscal year is going to end in just a few weeks. That wouldn't have happened if there was a strong strong finance committee that was overseeing the details of what the CFO was doing. And instead, we didn't even have a CFO for a long time. And again, when those appointments are made, it must be clear that it is the board that has the supervisory oversight. And then finally, I believe that the audit committee on the subcommittee that is focused on audit on WEDIC's board needs to be able to oversee compliance with the statute. And that is the finding that we saw most frequently in the audit, is that the WEDIC did not comply with the law, did not comply with the statute, and I believe if we had a strong audit committee they would be overseeing the activities of that was happening. So I do support the bill. I think it's a good first step, but I don't believe it goes far enough. But thank you very much for all the work that you've done on this bill, and I appreciate you bringing it forward so quickly.
I did want to point out, and I believe Mr. Hall is going to be testifying on the bill, but I believe they have hired a CFO if I've watched and followed things as they progress. So again, I hope that does answer and bring more transparency and gives us the opportunity to have some of our questions answered and the board members' questions answered.
Yeah, if I could just follow up, Madam Co-Chair, one of the messages that we heard loud and clear from the committee hearing had to do with the lack of information that went to the board, that they simply didn't know that there wasn't a good accounting system, that there wasn't a budget in place, that there was misuse of purchasing cards. And that's why the oversight from the board to the CFO and to all of their staff is so important. At one point, I think it was Representative Sargent said in the committee, Representative Richards, we have to make sure that this entity is being overseen and it's operating like it's supposed to. And we can't do it. The LAB can't do it. Who can do it? The answer to that question is the board. That's why the board exists. So whatever we can do to strengthen the board is what we need to do.
Right, and I definitely agree that this is a step in the right direction, and I can't wait to hear from Mr. Hall on how he feels that he would be able to implement these requirements, making sure that we in the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee are getting the information that we do require. And one of the things that Senator Vinehout did mention on the money side of things, I am very appreciative that the Joint Finance, when they acted, is holding some of their money back to again making sure that we do get those reports that we are requested, that are in statute currently, that we get that information, and again making sure that that does bring transparency to this. So again, any other questions? Yes, Representative Sargent.
Thank you, Chair Kirkman. You mentioned in your testimony that we wanted to have qualified candidates for these positions. And I'm wondering, is there a definition of qualified candidate? Does it require economic development experience? Or how is it that qualified is being defined? Because I think that's part of the problem that we heard at our last hearing. We had the folks from WEDIC speaking to us and saying, we define this differently in the business world than maybe you do as politicians. And we were getting tied in knots. And I tend to think that if we can make these definitions more clear as we move forward, that we will prevent ourselves from having some of these problems in the future. I think that early conversations and increased transparency is really important, especially it seemed like we had moved forward For example, in joint finance, making some corrective actions to the way programs are funded and who has oversight with them. But unfortunately, at 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a motion that took away much of that work that had taken place over the last number of weeks. So I would like to make sure that we're being thoughtful about how we're defining these terms and making sure that we're actually doing it in a way that's going to be effective rather than just using a word because it seems like the right word to be using.
I'm going to have Anna clarify because it doesn't necessarily get to the candidate itself, but it gets to the appointment process.
And were you referring to the portion in the bill that talks about the role of the lead director in the governance committee advising on helping to identify qualified candidates? Yes. The statutory requirements don't specify specific criteria for that makes a candidate qualified. The two public members that are appointed by the speaker and by the Senate Majority Leader must be employed in the private sector. There's no further qualifications specified, but it would be obviously within the appointments made by the governor and the speaker and the Senate Majority Leader, there would be decisions made about who would be best to serve in that role. I suppose that language would be interpreted just to have the governance committee have a role in identifying people best suited to serve in the role as a WEDIC board member.
Can I ask a follow-up question? So simply the only factor is that someone has experience working in the private sector. So they could be potentially a hamburger flipper at McDonald's, and that would give them the skills to be able to hold this position? Is that correct? I mean, I tend to think, and this is important. I want to be celebrating job growth in our country. I want to be celebrating job growth in our state. I want this organization to be successful. But I tend to think that if we're just finding folks that are friends of ours that have worked in the private sector previously and putting them in this position, that it handicaps us, that we really need to have people who have experience in creating jobs. And I'm wondering if there's the possibility that we could consider adding some definition to what qualified is. Anna, would it be inappropriate for us to consider some sort of amendment to define qualified?
Sorry, I think that's a policy question. I'll defer to the bill's authors on that.
Madam Chair, in regard to the lead director, that is specified as, you know, we always have judgments, you know, the definition of significant. I mean, we all probably have different ideas on that, but it does say significant management experience for the lead director. So we would have to, you know, use our judgment on that. It certainly would not be a hamburger flipper, and I wouldn't want a hamburger flipper for any of the board positions. So we have to use our judgment and be more careful in what kind of people are in this position. We want assertive people that are asking a lot of questions that put the management on defensive.
And
my experience in, you know, a couple boards I've been on, it's like, hey, they dread those meetings because the tough questions are, and if they're not answered, there's hell to pay. So it really comes down to the legislature vetting the people that are on there, that they're actually going to put some time in and ask the tough questions and make sure that they comply with all the directives that the legislature gives them.
I appreciate that, Senator Coles, and I think that you probably would put some good thought into that, but we can't put this forward knowing that you're going to be able to have that input. I think adding some parameters to it might be helpful. That's all I'm getting at here.
I think I just wanted to point out it's on page 14, items are line one, item four, is I believe where that part of the amendment comes in, and it's to assist. We took out the word chairman. It's for the entire board to look at the qualified candidates, just as members, I know I sometimes get constituent calls, people who want to serve in boards throughout the state of Wisconsin on different, where they might have a particular interest in serving on a board. Not always people have that specific background, and we're not really that specific. I recall somebody recently had contacted me about being on the physical therapy board. I didn't even realize in the state of Wisconsin we had a physical therapy board, but we have one. And it was a local gentleman who works at one of our hospitals in the Kenosha County area and wanted to be appointed to the board. So, again, there are a lot of people who are around the state that love to serve on these boards that might bring a whole variety of experience. I just look at the 132 members in the legislature. Senator Coles and I have much different experience, but we all bring something to the table when it comes to different issues that we work on. And then we all become, you know, as the committees that we serve on, I serve on children and families now, so I've become kind of an expert in the foster care and children and families issues. But I also serve on ways and means, which is tax policy. So again, we become, you know, generalists about a whole bunch of stuff in Wisconsin, but when we serve on different committees, I become more of a focused person on that particular interest area. So, again, when you're that prescriptive, you might rule out people who really might have an opportunity to have a great, you know, background come forward to serve on one of these committees. So I would hate to be too prescriptive. But, again, this is my remarks were more to try to make sure that the whole board gets to look at the qualified candidates. So, yes, Senator Reinhart.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just in the interest of moving this discussion along, I'd propose that the authors of the bill consider making the board members confirmed by the Senate, which would give an added level of scrutiny. And if I recall the statute right now, I think the chair of the the CEO is confirmed by the Senate, but I think that's the only person who's confirmed by the Senate. Maybe that's something that we could investigate.
We'll have Anna address that. Give Ledge Council just a minute.
Be something to think about.
There are currently 13 voting members on the WEDIC board under current law. Six of those members are members that are nominated by the governor and confirmed by those nominations are confirmed by the Senate. Six other members are three appointed by the Speaker and three appointed by the Senate Majority Leader. Those are not subject to Senate confirmation, although those include one minority member and one majority member in each House. And then the 13th member is the chairman of the board, who is the governor under the current law.
All right. Any other discussion? All right. Thank you very much. Next person up is Senator Julie Lassa. Speaking in favor.
Co-chairpersons, Coles and Kirkman, and committee members. First of all, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to testify before you this morning on Senate Bill 205 and the Assembly Companion, especially on the important topic of reforming the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. I want to thank both of you for your leadership on this issue and for the urgency and diligence you have shown in addressing the serious problems that were revealed in the recent program audit of the WEDC. I support the provisions of SB 205, and given the joint finance actions early this morning, I'll be reviewing those. But on the substance of SB 205 as currently unamended, I do believe that it reflects several of the recommendations of the Audit Bureau, as well as suggestions made at the public hearing on the audit by Senator Cullen and others. My fellow WEDIC board member, Representative Barca, and I called for similar reforms last month in the wake of the Audit Bureau's report. However, as useful as these proposals will be, I do not believe they go far enough to address the fundamental problem at the WEDC. One of the findings of the WEDIC audit was that the governing board has not always been informed about the agency's policies and practices, and that board members only learned about serious problems in the agency months after management became aware of them. I believe this is a problem. As with so many other issues at WEDIC, it stems from the very fact that the agency was set up with a weak board structure that permits management to ignore the board with impunity. The WEDIC secretary and CEO is appointed by the governor, and all of the rest of the senior management is hired by the CEO. Other than approving plans and reports, the board has little power and cannot hire and fire senior managers as a private sector board can do. It stands to reason, then, that when internal problems occur, the staff's loyalty is to the governor and not the board of directors. Let me share an incident that illustrates this problem. In December 2011, we were asked to approve a personnel manual for WEDIC staff. One section of the manual specified circumstances under which staff can accept gifts from outside firms, including such items as tickets to sporting events. As you know, this kind of behavior would be strictly illegal for legislators and state employees. When I asked why we would ever allow WEDIC employees to accept gifts, Governor Walker and then Secretary Jayden agreed, and the board approved the manual without that paragraph. We were promised that if revisions were made to the policy, it would once again be brought before the board for action and approval. We never saw the personnel manual again. I was stunned then to read in the audit report last month that WEDIC staff had been accepting gifts and continued to receive them for over a year after the December 2011 board meeting. WEDIC management claimed to have a policy for disposing of such items, but that policy was never brought before the board, as we were promised. Unless we blame such problems on managers who are no longer with the organization, you should know that as recently as 2 weeks ago, WEDIC board members like myself and my staff were not notified of the hiring of a new chief financial officer until a full hour after that information had already been shared with the news media. How I learned about the fact that we had hired a new CFO was I looked on WISPolitics, who had it a full hour before my office had it, the announcement from WEDC. I believe that unless WEDIC management comes to see its principal responsibility as being to its governing board, the board will continue to be unable to fulfill its oversight responsibilities. And indeed, as was talked about earlier, I mean, if the board is not given the teeth in order to assert control over the agency, all it does is provide a convenient sham for decisions that are being made where the board has no control. There was one of the stories that was broken on WEDC. I found out about it from a reporter. I didn't hear about it from WEDC management. I heard about it when a reporter called to ask me, did you know as a member of the board that this was happening at the WEDC? Other times, we found out about an hour before a story was about to break. And I know that other board members are concerned about this. We had one who was actually considering resigning from the board because they were concerned that it was going to be impacting their own personal standing within the business community. So getting back to my testimony, therefore, Representative Barca and I introduced a bill. Currently, it is LRB 2394 that would restructure the WEDIC Board of Directors to finally give it the power and independence it needs both to ensure the effective management of the organization as well as to protect the interests of Wisconsin taxpayers, who are the corporation's shareholders. Under our proposal, the governor would no longer serve as board chairman. Instead, the chair of the board would be elected by the WEDIC board, just as in any private corporation. The governor has a state to run and should not be burdened with the intricacies of managing this agency. Wisconsin taxpayers, who are the shareholders of this corporation, deserve more than just a figurehead as the chairperson. The board will have the authority to hire and fire all top WEDIC positions, including the CEO, the chief operating officer, and the chief financial officer. As with your bill, we call for non-legislative board members to serve fixed overlapping terms to give them the same level of independence that the boards of other state authorities have. For obvious reasons, our bill requires the board to include members with financial management experience, municipal or regional economic development experience, as well as private sector business experience. At least one member of the board must be an expert in corporate ethics. And I understand the changes that were made in the Joint Finance Committee last night, but I really encourage you to adopt provisions from within the legislation that Representative Barkin and I have about specific areas of expertise that the board needs in order to make sure that it can adequately manage and oversee what's happening within the agency. Our bill also creates the position of lead director on the board, similar to most publicly traded companies, as does SB 205 in its assembly companion. And I understand that in the upcoming testimony that WDC is going to say that the vice chair of the board fulfills these type of duties, but I would say that the vice chair currently only fills in when Governor Walker, who's currently chair of the board, cannot be there. I don't know if he exercises any other duties besides running the meeting when the chair can't be there. It requires that all WEDIC policies be approved by a majority of the board. I think that's very important in managing the organization. And under our bill, a finance committee will be maintained by the board, which would review and approve both the corporation's financial management as well as offers of grants and loans being made to businesses and corporations. This way we can ensure that that there is compliance with the loans, that we have strong policies in place, and also that the state laws are being carried out in terms of the requirements of these grants and loans. WEDIC's Audit Committee would be renamed the Audit and Compliance Committee and charged with ensuring that WEDIC is complying with state laws and board directives, including policies on the clawback provisions, loan forgiveness, and how out-of-compliance loans will be handled. The chairs of these committees and not management would set their agendas, demonstrating true independence. In the event that WEDIC establishes a nonprofit foundation to solicit donations, we want to make sure that there's no conflict of interest, so no company can receive grants or loans from WEDIC for 2 years after making the donation. These are common sense controls that apply to any corporation in order to give shareholders the assurance that their investment is being well managed. As the Racine Journal Times editorialized on May 21st, the reforms we have proposed are such common sense ideas, it's remarkable that they weren't in place from day one. If WEDIC is a corporation, then the people of Wisconsin are its shareholders, and they deserve to have their interests defended. True reform must begin with the only entity that it is in a position to provide real oversight to WEDIC's ongoing operations, and that is its board of directors. I hope you will consider incorporating these proposals in your legislation so that we can quickly make the kind of real reforms that can restore the credibility of our state's job creation agency in the eyes of the legislature, the business community, and the eyes of the people of Wisconsin. So thank you so much for your time and leadership on this issue, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Senator, thank you so much for your testimony today. On your item on the expert in corporate ethics, how would you identify that?
Sure. We have experts in corporate ethics in this state. I mean, you just have to look down the street to the UW-Madison with their business department. I think that it's really important that we make sure that someone on the board is familiar with business ethics, best practices, and that they really hold the feet of the board as well as the agency to the fire in making sure that we're upholding the highest ethical standards in the state.
I look at it like we have a CPA caucus now in the assembly. I don't know if you've heard about them yet, mm-hmm. but we have Representative Markline, who is one of our CPA caucus, and I don't know if would somebody who actually is a CPA, I mean, that is something that's truly identifiable, that you can say that, you know, we now have a CPA on this board who's going to be using their best practices.
Going back to the Be Bold report, they had called for members of the board of directors to have specific backgrounds because they wanted to make sure that the board was well-rounded and could make sure that the agency was being well-managed and carrying out its duties to help work with the private sector to create jobs. One of the positions, I mean, they had financial management, regional economic development, in other economic development experience, and they also had someone from the world of academics. And I think that you could certainly say that the person on the board could fulfill that type of corporate ethics position.
Okay. And I'm going to have to turn over the hearing to Senator Coles right now because I have to go vote on a bill. So
thank you so much, Chair Kirkman.
Good luck with that bill. Okay. Other questions from committee members? Senator Vinehart.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I appreciate all the work that you've done, and I support your proposal. And I wondered if you'd had a chance to run it by any other board members or if you talked about had any feedback on from different board members, including those of that are also members of the legislature.
Sure. I've talked to other board members, and I just know that given the numerous issues that have played out in the press since WEDC was created, as well as now the program audit, as we know, the financial audit has not been able to be completed, as you pointed out, and as board members, as well as now, who I'm talking to now is the legislators. It's important for us to have our premier job creation agency working optimally. I mean, we need to be focusing on creating good-paying, family-supporting jobs, and I think one of the reasons why WEDC has not been able to fully fulfill their role is because of the weak board of directors that we have. I mean, let me give you an instance. I mean, when I had asked at our last board meeting, our emergency board meeting, a question of the audit bureau, is that, well, could since the financial audit is still ongoing, the financial reports that I and other members of the board voted on, do we have any confidence that those were correct? Where did that information come from? You know, was it based on fact? Is it what they thought? Or were they just numbers on the page that didn't have any real meaning? And I think that is, one, this agency was put together really quickly. There was 5 months from when this bill, the bill creating WEDC, was signed into law to when the Department of Commerce was abolished. The state of Ohio is taking 2 years to make the transition. But now we can't go back and fix that. We have to deal with what we have. And one of the ways that we can really improve the function of the WEDC is by making it more responsible and answerable to its own board of directors. Otherwise, I'm really concerned that, one, we will start losing different members of the board because their voices are not listened to. And I gave you a perfect example about the staff accepting gifts. They were not supposed to be accepting gifts. It's in our December 2011 minutes. And yet in the audit report, we found out that they were accepting gifts, despite the fact that the board had said that they were not allowed to accept gifts. So unless we really make sure that the board has some teeth, it is just a convenient, WEDC acts as it is, and the board of directors do not have a real say in how it operates and doesn't really have control over the agency. And as I pointed out at one of our first emergency board meeting, is that statutorily, the board of directors, we are responsible for the agency following state statutes. So the fact that they broke six state statutes, it's not on them. It's on the board of directors. And if we do not have control over the agency and what they're doing, I mean, what person would want to serve on the board of directors if they're going to be responsible for the actions of the WEDC, yet not really have the ability to control it?
One of the concerns I had about the draft that's in front of us has to do with the changes related to procurement. And originally, I believe in your bill, but certainly in our discussions, many of us wanted the WEDC to be under DOA and the state's statutory requirements related to procurement. And in the amendment that we have before us, instead, the corporation is required to publicly solicit bids and have in their policy the proposal, how they evaluate the proposals from multiple vendors and how they assess conflict of interest with the vendor, which obviously was one of the problems. And that's it. There isn't a lot of other substance there. And I accept that the board shall adopt policies and procedures that specify that I just described. If the board was operating the way that you and I would hope that it should be, I could see how perhaps this would be adequate. What I'm wondering is whether or not, given this language, and maybe it'd be great if you could take a look at it and let me know sometime later, if you feel like this is adequate given the state of the board and the changes that would be made in this bill.
Well, thank you so much for the question. I haven't had a chance to look at the motion that was adopted in the Joint Finance Committee and the potential amendment that would be offered to this legislation. But frankly, given the track record of WEDC up to this point, I would say you'd want a much more restrictive procurement policy, and then make them prove that they have the policies and procedures in place to make sure that we don't have any additional issues going forward, and then we can make changes at that time. But I think that right now, given the fact that we have had numerous economic development bills introduced in the legislature by members of both parties, that instead of placing, whether it's the venture capital fund or different economic development, instead of putting that and housing it at the WEDC, legislators, Republicans and Democrats, are deciding that those type of programs should be housed in other agencies. So I think that it is upon the WEDC to regain the trust of the state legislature. I mean, even Governor Walker put the $25 million in venture funds, housed it over at DOA, and in the bill that's currently out there would also keep the money over at DOA. I think it sends a strong signal that this agency has a credibility problem and needs to be able to regain the trust of the state legislature, as well as the constituents that we represent, and that they need to be able to prove themselves. And so I don't, I would think that it is the most prudent course, given the track record so far, to be more restrictive and then have them come back and ask for changes. That's my own feeling.
Representative Sargent.
Thank you, Chair Kirkman, and thank you, Senator, for being here with us today. I appreciate your thoughtful testimony, and I've actually drafted a number of amendments that have just been turned in to the chairs to address many of these concerns. I'm wondering, as a board member, if you have felt as if when you have been asked for input and directive into the way that WEDC is run and to the way the hires are made, if the will of the board and the thoughtfulness of the people that are currently on the board has been taken seriously, or if the powers that be up above the chairman has overridden what the board has decided, and if you think that actually redefining and giving more teeth to the board might help with those thoughtful decisions. Do you have experience with that?
Sure. Well, thank you very much for the question. And I do think that giving the board more teeth and actual control of WEDC is very important. And let me give you an example. When Secretary and CEO Paul Jaden announced that he was leaving, there was a search committee or subcommittee of the board that was formed. I believe that there were three members. They hired a executive search firm. There were thousands of dollars that were spent on their services. The people on the search committee went through resumes, went through hours of interviews, made their recommendation to the chairman of the board, which is Governor Walker, and he decided that he was not going to go with the pick of the subcommittee of the board, that he was going to hire someone else who happens to be was the interim secretary and CEO, who's now the secretary. Despite Reed, who's a friend of mine, didn't even apply for the job, and I think it just goes to show that this is an extremely weak board. Even if there is a directive, such as with staff taking gifts, that the board is ignored, and I just think that it's important that if we really want the WEDC to function correctly, where there's more accountability and transparency, the board has to be able to run that agency or oversee it and hire its top people so that they are responsive to the board, and that I think is critical. Otherwise, the board is just a convenient foil and doesn't really have the ability to make the necessary decisions and hold people accountable at the agency, because the board does not have the authority right now to be able to do that.
I appreciate that testimony, and I'm hopeful that my colleagues on the committee will consider some of the amendments that I put forward.
And I very much appreciate that, because, made a statement during our rules in the Senate, we can only make statements at the very end of the calendar. And I was talking about the WEDC and the fact that we do need a strong board, and some of the issues that had not been talked about at the board until they had come out in the press or were soon to come out in the press. And I could hear my Republican colleagues behind me saying, well, why doesn't she know that? Because she's on the board. Well, that is the problem. The board is not given the information it needs to make decisions. And Senator Coles had made a comment earlier that, the boards that he's been familiar with, that if they did not get the answers, and then there would be hell to pay. But that's the problem with how this agency was set up, is that the board doesn't get the information until either it's out in the press or it's about to come out in an hour. And then when you don't have access to that information, like grants being given to businesses or corporations who by state law weren't allowed to get them, or tax credits, what have you, then how do you ask the tough questions and hold people's feet to the fire if you don't have that access to that information to begin with? And I think that is what is so important to understand, is that a lot of times the board doesn't have access to the information, and you can't hold people's feet to the fire by asking those tough questions.
Senator, I don't disagree, and actually with some of your recommendations, I think we should make some of these changes in the Board of Regents as well. I really feel that the management of that particular board, they didn't know about, President Riley didn't know about the $300 million that had gone out the door for misuse, overspending with the WRS and the terminated employees, that health insurance benefits, and nobody lower down in the system called the president of the system, and then the Board of Regents didn't know either until the audit actually came out themselves. So I see that in a lot of boards, and I'm going to definitely take some serious looks at this, because I think we can do reform of you know, boards that deal with hundreds of millions of dollars or even $1 billion with the Board of Regents. So,
well, see, in this, we're relying on this agency, and I appreciate your comments, Chair Kirkman. The thing is that the board doesn't even have the ability to hire and fire.
Right,
anyone.
And the Board of Regents anyone. Doesn't do it, though. That's,
and,
I guess,
they
I,
don't. They don't do it, but at least they have the power to. This board,
but they don't do anything.
I no. believe was set up to be a weak board, and we don't have the authority to even do that.
Yeah. So we'll have further discussion on this, and I know Senator Coles had another comment. Or
you have the authority to ask questions and demand accountability with the current statutes. I mean, you know what the statutes are. You didn't have to wait for an audit to come out to know what the statutes were. You know, the audit looked at compliance with the statute. So everybody that goes in, and you could take this upon yourself. You don't have to answer this. You could come in with a cheat sheet. Here's the statutes, and just push them at every meeting, as long as you're a member of that board and the other members of the board, and say, have you complied with these statutes? If there's not an answer, have a press conference. You know, this bill will not get at everything that may need to be solved here. It's essentially taking the recommendations of the Audit Bureau and Senator Cullen's excellent recommendations on the lead auditor. That's it. So we're not going to get at everything here. In the meantime, I invite you to be an assertive director and raise that hell that I mentioned. You're on there. We're not on the committee.
Right. And I can tell you, Senator Coles, I have. As former Senator Plaley, she said, sometimes I think Representative Barca and I are about as welcome on the board of directors as a skunk at a garden party, because we ask those tough questions. But when you have, as the audit report pointed out, where staff didn't even know what the state statutes are, if we ask them that, the likely answer we'd be getting, well, of course we're following state law, because they didn't even know what the state statutes were, or that the WEDC had a policy in place to deal with this. You had some people, like for the loans, you had some businesses being charged a 2% loan origination fee and others not. Why was there a difference? There shouldn't be. And that's why, you know, the agency needs real reform, needs the legislature as well as the governor to step up and make the necessary changes, make sure that we have a strong board of directors who can hold people's feet to the fire, and that there are firm policies in place. So, but I understand what you're saying, and you'll be happy to know that we have been acting in that role, and that there are other board members too that are equally concerned.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Senator Lehman.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and thank you for your testimony, Senator Lassa. Given the fact that there was action on WEDIC early this morning, and the fact that you have some major proposals that are not really in the bill before us, would you recommend that we kind of slow down on this and take a little time to look it over before we move forward?
Well, I understand that there is a executive session, I think that's scheduled for tomorrow. I would say that we need to act quickly on making sure that we have a really good reform package, but I also think that we can't think that SB 205 or is complete it's a good first step, as Senator Vinehout said, but I would really appreciate if the co-chairs, as well as members of this committee, would give serious thought to including the provisions that Representative Barca and I are making in our version of the bill, because I do think that we really need a strong reform, because I don't want to be here in another year having, you know, when we know we have thousands of people still out of work, where we're 44th in the nation in job creation, and we need to make sure that our premier job creation agency is not in chaos as it has been for the last year and a half, that it is working optimally in order to help the private sector create the good-paying, family-supporting jobs that we really need in the state of Wisconsin.
It's not just that the Racine Journal Times thinks your ideas are common sense and good ones, but my question, I guess, is for the co-chairs. Are amendments acceptable up to a few hours before our meeting tomorrow, or what is the rule on possibly adding some of these ideas into the bill by tomorrow?
Well, we do have amendments that have already been handed in from Senator Representative Sargent, so you know, we will entertain those amendments tomorrow. But it is kind of interesting, because the last 2 days that we were on the floor session, Representative Bark and I went back and forth on a number of different issues with regards to WEDIC and not acting quickly enough. So that's why we're here and acting so quickly, so that we can get these up for the June floor session. So that's why we're acting as quick as we are, because I think it's kind of already been vetted through the audit that came out. So it's not like we're reevaluating any particular new item that's come out. I think we're trying to address the concerns of the audit, and that's why we're acting very swiftly, because I know that at least in our house, now again, I'm not in the Senate, so I know you guys at least had one discussion about it, but it's been the focus of our discussion. When we're talking about any other bill, we always seem to come back to WEDIC, so that's why we're acting so quickly.
I appreciate your response, and I appreciate that Representative Sargent has amendments ready, but I haven't seen those. I'll make an effort to see them as quickly as possible. I'm just wondering if there are additional amendments or changes in language. Is that acceptable yet before tomorrow's exec at any time, or do you have a deadline for that kind of suggested language changes?
We don't have a specific deadline, but we would all like to entertain and look at the amendments. Now, I believe one of the sub that Representative Sargent is offering is actually Representative Lasso's bill draft. And then she has three additional amendments that are separate, smaller issues. Again, we just looked at those right now during the committee hearing. So again, I'm not speaking to any specifics, but that's my understanding of what the amendments are and what they, you know, that we are.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. There are some issues that, you know, as Senator Lassa laid out, that, you know, I would even maybe entertain in another bill draft. Again, this is step one, and I have been very vocal on that in the media conversations I have had. And as we go forward, I think we need to make these reforms that are in Assembly Bill 228 and Senate Bill 205 quickly, because I believe we've identified them and we are, you know, we're moving very quickly on them so that we can have them available for the June floor dates.
I appreciate the fact that you're moving forward quickly. It's just my view that if it takes another half day or a day or something to do it right, rather than leaving a lot of loose ends, we ought to, while we're working on it, carefully consider the ideas that have been proposed.
One of the things in the discussions that we've had recently on some of the big audits from the UW system and from WEDIC, we've identified concerns in both of those areas, and addressing them quickly, I think, is important, and not hurting any of their brands. I have really been trying to not hurt the Wisconsin brand or the UW system brand as I talk and be critical of some of the problems that I've seen in them, because, again, I believe we need higher education and have one of the best university systems in the country, just like I want us to succeed in our economic development programs
because it, when we don't succeed in there, that only hurts our state of Wisconsin and our job creation. And so again, I'm trying to be very mindful of moving as quickly as we can to try to address the concerns that have been brought up to me in the assembly. Again, I don't know if Senator Coles wants to address that. I haven't been part of the Senate discussions on the floor, so. But maybe we could set a time of around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Why don't we set 3 o'clock today, getting amendments to us so at least everybody has the opportunity to look at them. The bill has been out for the LRB has been out for several days floating around in our form. There's a ledge council memo on the Senate bill, and it actually includes the sub-amendments that we have included. So again, it's a very well-written memo that Anna spent hours working on over the last few days. So we appreciate her work. So good. Thank you.
Thank you for that consideration.
Senator Lozick.
Thank you. Thank you, co-chairs, for the meeting, for your work on the bill. And thank you, Senator Lassa, for testifying. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading through the bill. I read through the bill and Anna's memo, and then I read your testimony, and I'm trying to decipher what might be in your testimony
okay.
that isn't in the bill. One thing, of course, the first thing you have is the chair of the board
right.
being elected. And then beyond that, I'm trying to decipher you validate that some of your recommendations are the same, but what else specifically other than that chair of the board do you believe should be addressed that isn't addressed in the bill before us or in what JFC did? And JFC pretty much did what's in the bill here today.
So thank you very much for the question, Senator Lazick. I would say that Representative Barkin and I, given our experience of sitting on the board now since its creation, these are items in our legislation, I mean, where, as Senator Coles said, Chairman Coles, I mean, no bill is going to be a silver bullet. But we do believe that these are really important provisions to have in place in terms of a reform package for the WEDC to make sure that we have a strong board of directors. And unfortunately, I'm not very familiar with what JFC adopted early this morning. I have to go back and take a look at that. But I do think that we need to make sure that we do have a strong reform package that, because as Chairman Kirkman said, I mean, WEDC's brand is very important. And right now, given the fact that we've had all these issues with it for the last year and a half, that have now come forward in the program audit, that now is the time to make really strong and meaningful reforms at the agency, because I think that as I said earlier, there's bipartisan interest by legislators to make sure that WEDC is working and that it's working optimally. And we had one of the senators who sits with you on the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Liebum, said, you know, he's giving them another year, and if they can't get it together, then, you know, the legislature should pull the plug on the WEDC.
And that's all fine. I'm just wondering the differences between your testimony here in the bill. The only
sure.
one that I really see
there's,
is that you recommend the chair be elected. Is there any other one that isn't in the bill?
There's the chair. Also that the board has the authority to hire and fire all top WEDC positions, including the CEO, the COO, and the CFO. Then the provision about the overlapping terms, that's something that is similar. And our bill says, and it follows along with the recommendations that were made under Be Bold about having members of the board have specific types of background experiences, and that is something that differs from SB 205 as well as what passed JFC this morning. The lead director is the same, and then making sure that all policies that WEDC has are approved by a majority of the board, that's different. That's something our bill does. And then we also would create a finance committee And then we would rename the audit committee, the audit and compliance committee, which I believe those two things are different than what SB 205 has, and that the chairs would have the ability to set the committee agendas instead of management, and that as well as there, we have a provision in our bill that says that if businesses or someone gives money to the WEDC Foundation that will be set up probably sometime in the future, that just to make sure that there is no conflicts of interest or quid pro quo, that that person or business would not be able to receive any grants or loans from WEDC for 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you, Senator Lassa, for your testimony.
Thank you so much.
Next up is Representative Barca. I'm going to go out a little bit out of turn here. And you're going to keep your remarks very brief today, if
I
understand.
Thank you. Much of what I would cover would Senator Lassa cover, and I have written testimony, so I won't repeat that at all. I'll just add a little bit of emphasis. And let me start off by thanking both Co-Chairman Kirkman and Coles. I do appreciate the fact that you're moving quickly. I think you took the items that are in the audit, brought them forward, and I really want to applaud you for that. I think that is really good. I do appreciate the speed by which you're operating. I think that's really a plus. And so what we're asking, though, is that you go just one step further and that you deal with the governing structure of the board, which is not functional currently. I was talking to Senator Cullen before I came up here. Both of us have served on private sector boards, nonprofit boards. I don't know of any board that's actually a governing board that doesn't have the authority to hire and fire the CEO at a minimum, if not the CFO and COO. And it's not that we have a bone to pick. I mean, remember, what we're doing is what WEDIC will look like, you know, for the next 30 years. And it just seems to me that of all the recommendations we have, I think that is by far the most critical. Because I think without that, you really the board is toothless and really cannot have the kind of effectiveness they need. So if you were going to add just one provision to this bill, that would be the one that I would recommend. At our last board meeting, I brought this up. I know there's support amongst the board for this. We're going to be discussing this further. Another provision that Senator Lassa mentioned is, and incidentally, these are things that came out of the Be Bold Advisory Committee. This is what, when we created this, and I served on that commission, this is what we advised Wisconsin to do. And these were a couple of things that were left on the table. That one, the other one is that you have specific members that have economic development experience, that have accounting experience, so that we put together a list of board members that you know, that can be selected that have that specific experience. That's another one that I think is very vital. Yeah, to be frank, in terms of whether or not we elect the chairman or not, that's one that I think that makes more sense, frankly. However, I would actually defer to Governor Walker if he wants to continue being chairperson. I don't think that's nearly as necessary, frankly. I know that in Indiana, which is partly what we modeled this after, the governor does serve as chairman of the board there. So even though I think ideally over the long term, regardless who governor is, I think it's better for them to elect their chairperson, I personally would go along with whatever Governor Walker would want to do in that provision. But the two that I think are absolutely vital and most important is the first one that we have as a bullet point here, and that is you give, you make the board an effective governing board. And, again, I don't know of any governing board that doesn't have this authority. So I thank you. I think it is good, Chairperson Kirkman, that you're moving quick. I do think we should move this forward. And I just add that at an absolute minimum, you consider adding that first bullet point, which I think is essential for effective board governance. Because, as you know, we decided as a legislature not to create an oversight committee. You know, what you're doing is helpful, but you can't be an oversight committee. And there really is no oversight committee in the legislature. So you really need to make the board effective.
Thank you, Representative Barker. I just wanted to follow up because, again, the Board of Regents does have the power right now to fire and hire people, mm-hmm. and they don't use it at all. And I have actually met recently with some of the regents, mm-hmm. you know, on an individual basis just with regards to some of the things that I've been concerned about over there. Mm-hmm. And I have made it known that, you know, holding President Riley's feet to the fire on one particular issue on the, not on the surplus, but actually on the HR system. But they haven't done anything. So
even when you give boards those authorities, they don't use them. And I guess that's where I get really frustrated, you know, in a board that actually has that power.
But I would actually disagree with the characterization. I mean, the Board of Regents does use their authority. They made the decision to hire Catherine Lyle. And after she left, they made the decision to hire Kevin Riley. Now, we may disagree with that decision, or we may think that maybe at this point they should make a change. Mm-hmm. And that's something they may be thinking about for all we know. I'm not certain, and I'm not sure if it's, you know, I'm not sure to what degree maybe they agree with his actions. And well, we might disagree, mm-hmm. and we do disagree, actually.
Right. Right.
But, you know, but that still is within their purview, mm-hmm. and that's the authority that we give them. And I like I said, every governing board I've ever served on has this authority. Without it, there's really only one person in the state that has any authority, and that's Governor Walker. And not to pick on him, because you know there'll be plenty of governors mm-hmm. following him, and I just don't think you want to rest that much authority in one person. And without it, we really don't. We have an advisory board.
Right, but I see in government they don't usually take that ability to hire and fire people. And the one board that I know of in the state of Wisconsin that has that ability to hire or fire people, you know, to actually fire somebody for not maybe performing to their level of job qualifications, they haven't taken advantage of it in any of those areas. So I actually do, you know, under talking with Senator Coles on the having board members actually have some qualifications, a.k.a. maybe a CPA on that mm-hmm. Board. I think having a CPA caucus, at least in the Assembly, mm-hmm. has broadened our horizons a little bit here. So, but I do appreciate that people have different backgrounds. I don't mm-hmm. want everybody to be the same and
Absolutely.
Come from the same type of schooling, because I think diversity is good, too. So.
Well, and the other thing that's missing, Chairperson Kirkman, in addition to the CPA, which I agree with you on, is someone with economic development experience. I mean, the Be Bold Advisory Committee envisioned that you'd have maybe a CEO of one of the regional economic development authorities that would serve on this board, and that's desperately lacking. Now, you know, in terms of the people that serve on that board currently, I'm not sure who, you know, I served as the head of the Midwest with the SBA. I know Senator Lassa served as a head of the Chamber of Commerce, so maybe there's some background there. But I do think that it's important that when we're bringing in private sector experience that we have a good mix of experiences.
All right. Thank you, Representative Barker.
Thank you very much. Thanks for accommodating me. I appreciate it.
Next up, we have Reed Hall, CEO of WEDIC. Thank you so much for your appearance today. And I know that you were before us a few weeks ago. And
great to be back. Thank you for this opportunity to testify today on Senate Bill 205 and Assembly Bill. Oh, let me introduce everyone, my protocol. I think we all know Ryan Murray, who is our COO. We have Hannah Renfro, who is our Chief Legal Counsel, and Amy Young, who is our Policy Analyst Specialist Chief, whatever. So, we're passing out copies of my testimony today, but before I get into that, let me say that we continue to work diligently with NWDC on implementing the concerns that were raised in the Legislative Audit Bureau findings. We have a very aggressive compliance program going that Hannah is chairing and some others are working very diligently on. And we're committed to making sure that WDC is fully in compliance with the audit findings and the other matters before the House. On the CFO, we have added an individual named Stephanie Walker, no relation to the governor, who is currently the chief financial officer of the Village of Shorewood in Milwaukee. Extensive municipal accounting experience. Will come on board on June 17, and we're anxious for her to join us, and I think she's anxious to join us. And it's going to be a good relationship. So she completes our team immediately now of what we're looking for as our senior leadership. as with any new organization, WDC is an evolving entity that is constantly striving to provide better transparency, accountability, and economic development results to Wisconsin taxpayers. And we thank the Joint Legislative Audit Committee and members of the legislature for helping to accomplish these goals. In its entirety, Senate Bill 205 contains some excellent ideas to improve the organization, which we support. Other provisions, however, are duplicative of efforts we've already enacted, and some may be counterproductive to the mission of improving Wisconsin's business climate. While the bill scope is considerable, I'd like to provide feedback on a few measures contained therein. The additional reporting requirements, first on the list, we're committed to being a responsible steward of taxpayer dollars, starting with transparent reporting requirements. Of the measures included in this bill, there are several that WDC already voluntarily reports and several others that we are currently implementing. Through our Act 125 requirements, we already report on the tax allocations and verifications in the previous year for the economic development tax credits and have voluntarily identified each tax credit recipient for previous fiscal years. We have no objection to codifying this. It is already part of our organizational practice, and WDC will continue to improve when we begin implementing our anticipated new computer system this fall. Creation of a lead director board position. The WDC Board of Directors already has an elected board vice chair. This position, currently occupied by Dan Ahrens of Ahrens Corporation here in Wisconsin, fulfills all the duties outlined in this provision of Senate Bill 205. In addition, the current WDC bylaws already go beyond Senate Bill 205 by requiring election of the position annually as opposed to every 2 years as it is proposed. If we need to change our bylaws to make sure it's clear some of the additional functions and responsibilities of the lead director, we'd be very pleased to do that. I recommend that to the board. The board governance committee. At this time, WDC's entire board of directors is this governance committee. And the entire WDC board is responsible for all oversight functions outlined in this provision. We feel that governance is the proper role of the full board, which includes representatives of private business, the executive branch of government, and the legislative members from both political parties. WDC's 15-member board already has established an audit committee, a compensation and benefits committee, and plans to create three more committees at the next board meeting in July. These new committees will be a policy committee, and I'm pleased to announce that Senator Lassa has been invited to this committee. She has not given us an answer yet, but we hope that she will be able to serve on that policy committee. And I shouldn't probably tell her this, but there are 55 policies lined up for this policies committee's review. And hopefully some of the more important ones can go to our entire board already in July after review by the policy committee. We've enacted a lot of policies since the audit. The committee has signed off on them. I've signed off on them temporarily until approved by the policy committee and the full board. We also are establishing a credit committee with outside members and a contracts committee, mandating an additional and duplicative committee with goals already charged to the full board will add an undue burden on the part-time members of the board. The annual Legislative Audit Bureau fiscal audit, the recent LAB programmatic audit and its upcoming financial audit are important tools to ensuring that WDC maintains proper controls and transparency to our operation. Following standard corporate practice, WDC's board additionally contracts with an independent private auditor to audit WDC's finances on an annual basis and report to the WDC board. This independent auditor then provides advice and counsel on how to comply with any audit recommendations, just as our auditor did with our fiscal year 12 audit. This is a service we cannot eliminate. The LAB, while excellent auditors, has made clear to WDC's management that it is not their mandate to provide advice or recommendations to help WDC comply with audit recommendations. To further the goals of maintaining accountability and transparency, we recommend adopting the language of Senate Bill 186 and Assembly Bill 220, authored by Senator Harsdorf and Representative Crawford, requiring an independent financial audit of WDC rather than an annual financial audit from LAB, the cost of which must be borne by WDC in addition to the cost of our independent auditor. Establishment of a nonprofit organization. One of the objectives of WDC is to leverage private funds for economic development projects. Creating a tax-exempt entity will support that objective. That entity may fall within the scope of a charitable organization under Section 501(c)(3) of the Internal Revenue Code, but it may be determined that an alternative tax-exempt structure is more suitable. For example, one of the options we are considering is a governmental affiliate entity, contributions to which are tax-deductible under Section 170(c)(1) of the Internal Revenue Code. The proposed legislation could be amended to model WHEDA's statute at 234.03.26. In this vein, WDC statute would instead authorize WDC to establish and maintain a corporation organized under Chapter 180 or 181 to effectuate the duties and powers of the board. Alternatively, the language could be limited to the creation of a nonprofit entity but still allow necessary flexibility. The following is language that would accomplish this. WDC's board may organize and maintain a nonprofit entity or nonprofit corporation organized under Wisconsin Statutes 181 so that contributions to it are deductible from adjusted gross income under Section 170 of the Internal Revenue Code. Since the procurement policy issue was addressed in joint finance, I'll skip this portion because what we were suggesting here has basically been accomplished, and we want to thank the Joint Finance Committee for that thoughtful change. So, again, we welcome the opportunity to continue working with the legislature on this and other legislation to help improve WDC and help move Wisconsin forward. Improving Wisconsin's business climate is a cooperative effort between all agencies of government and our elected officials. We welcome the opportunity to testify and provide dialogue on initiatives such as Senate Bill 205 and welcome any questions you may have. Thank you for your consideration. And I forgot to clarify one thing. Staff of WDC does not ever accept gifts personally on behalf of any, except on behalf of WDC. All those gifts are turned into the corporation and given to United Way or some other function. But our staff do not benefit personally by any gifts that are given from Chinese ambassadors or people that we encounter throughout the state of Wisconsin. So with that, I'd be pleased to answer any questions that people may have.
Thank you, CEO Hall. I appreciate your testimony today and and your efforts to try to address the concerns of the audit. I really do.
We're working very hard on that.
And I think it's a work in progress, as I've said over time. And again, I want to be very mindful of how the reforms that we're putting forward are talked about, because, again, when we hurt our brand, it only hurts our job creation here in Wisconsin. And I'm trying to be very mindful of that these days.
Thank you. That's very important to our organization, and we appreciate your pointing that out.
I did see that there were concerns. We had a full hearing on it, and that's why the bill came forward so quickly, and as you heard my discussion. I did want to just bring up Senator Lassa has a number of ideas thrown out there, and one that is kind of piqued my interest, and it's because we have a great CPA caucus. I appreciate that there's 132 legislators, and we all bring different experiences to the legislature. I think that's what makes our body strong. So when I look at boards throughout the state, when I get asked to help, make a recommendation to the governor on some constituent, and I look forward to, on this board, on the WEDIC board, but having somebody who might have a CPA, background, I think of Representative Kramer in our house, in our body. He actually is a lawyer and a CPA. People don't realize that about one of our members. It does add to the discussion, and they can use their schooling in those discussions.
We're actively looking for an individual with financial expertise for addition to the board, and if that were a requirement in the statute, we would not oppose that in any way, shape, or form, because I think that's a very important addition to boards today, and there's some federal statutes that suggest that for larger corporations, as Representative Merkline understands.
Great. Any other questions for CEO Hall? Seeing them? Thank you. One other thing. What are the current duties of the board? Do you have that in policy at all right now?
In Wisconsin, as in most states, the business and affairs of the corporation must be managed by its board of directors. They're ultimately responsible. By resolution, the board has delegated several responsibilities to myself as CEO. That was accomplished, I think, at the first meeting. But I think statutorily, the board is responsible for the business and affairs of the corporation.
If we could get a copy of that resolution, that would be...
Yep. Just put a slightly finer point on that. Statutes grant the board extremely broad authority to govern WDC, up to and including the hiring of all top staff except for the CEO. So I'm... The
Can you repeat that again, that
statement?
Yeah,
statutes grant the board full authority to govern WDC with essentially two exceptions. One is the hiring and firing of the CEO and the election of the board chairman. All other powers are reserved to the board. The board has chosen, this board has chosen, and its members have voted to approve delegations of that authority in some instances to the CEO. But it's still within the board's purview to revoke that delegation if it so chose.
So if there was a mid-level management person and the board felt that they weren't living up to their expectations, could the board fire that person?
The board retains that authority. They would have to, as the bylaws currently stand, that authority is delegated to the CEO of the corporation. But the board, through a vote to change its bylaws, could revoke that delegation and then address the personnel matter on their own.
If you could get us that statute, sure. I think that would be helpful.
One other thing I would add, if I may. I not only serve as CEO of the corporation, but as secretary of the organization. With that position, I sit on the cabinet, the governor's cabinet. And it's very important, I think, that this position serve as a cabinet member to have the relationship with the other cabinet members, because we know that we can't move Wisconsin forward without everyone else in the state of Wisconsin, including the legislature, helping us on that.
No, I believe the connection with, you know, I'd throw out two other larger state agencies, the Department of Transportation and the DNR. When we're looking to locate a business here in Wisconsin or move a business, or it usually involves one or all of those state agencies, and usually if there's a problem as a legislator in a particular area, you're getting the call if there is a problem or red tape or something going on with one of those agencies. So I completely agree that you should be sitting at that table having those relationships with the other secretaries. So I see no other questions. Thank you so much for your time and testimony today.
Thank you very much.
All right. And I think that there's nobody else that who's registered to testify. I do have one other registration from Senator Cullen, registering in favor but not speaking. And so I appreciate that. And I just want to remind members, if you do have amendments, 3 o'clock deadline in the office today to really address any. And if we do get that information today with regards to the resolution that sets forth the duties and the hiring and firing practices of the board, I think that would be beneficial, because, and there's an additional one of the amendments, I believe, is trying to address that. And in today's testimony, Representative Barca and Senator Lassa both pointed out those items as being major issues, and it would be nice to see what's already in place. So again, that closes the hearing. Thank you very much.